So this is called Build a Better Business. And what we do when we're talking about Build a Better Business is we start with what it is that you do, what your value proposition statement is, you know, who it is that you're trying to serve, what audience are you trying to help? And then we go into the whole part of building your business. You have your story as to how you got to where you are. And so for those of you that are on the call, Sherry has heard my spiel so many times, but we always do this when we have new folks on. When you're ready to build your business, your story on how you got to where you are becomes the cornerstone of your business. And so we talk about the hero's journey, and we spend a whole month talking about the hero's journey. Like, here's where I was and here's where I struggled, but then I discovered how to do this. And now I want to help folks do this as well. And you can use that hero's journey in any business, doesn't matter what it is that you're marketing or trying to develop for yourself to generate income. You can use that hero's journey. And we talk all about that for a whole month. Then we get into, once you know what it is that, you know, who you are and who you're trying to help and your hero's journey, how you struggled and now how you have this information for other folks. And Sean, for you, I know you're a realtor. And so just as an example, you know, you could say, I didn't have my own place, but then I discovered this whole world of real estate. And now, here's what I've learned. And now here's how I can help you, you know, purchase your real estate. So you can use that hero's journey in any type of a sales situation. So once you have that down, now you're ready to start creating your products and what it is that you do, what your offers are. And so one of my main offers is a free meetup. And that's at the top of my funnel. Think of a funnel, like, you know, all the folks come in the top, and then a few more folks will take the next step, and then a few more the next step. And finally, when you get, you know, like Sean, you put a house out there to advertise, and you've got a ton of folks that might call on that original advertisement, but a less than that will finally actually go see it. And then less than that will make an offer on it. And finally, you'll come down that funnel to where one will finally get the financing and purchase it. And so that's your funnel. And no matter what it is that you're marketing or monetizing for yourself, you're going to have some sort of a funnel. And so you have all these folks at the top end that you need to reach to get that 1, 2, 3, or 10 or however many you need at the bottom of that funnel to actually purchase. And that's where your income comes from. But you have to appeal to the crowds, you know, you have to appeal to this larger group to funnel it down. So once you start building your business, you'll realize what works as a funnel. Now for real estate, it might be an open house. You know, that's a great funnel because you got all the looky-loos that want to come by and look at it, but you already know that the majority of those folks are not going to buy that house. You already know that, but you have to do the open house so that you can hopefully capture that one, see, that gets into the funnel. That will eventually then say, you know, I really do like this house. Let's make an offer. Let's try to get our financing. Let's go ahead and enter into a contract and buy that house. And so that's what we're talking about. So once you go through all of those steps on what your offers are, then it's, how are you going to market yourself? How are you going to get folks to know that you're even a realtor to begin with, or whatever it is that you're doing? How are you going to get folks to even know about you? And so one of the best ways to do that, of course, is all of our social media. And we spend a month talking about how to post across social media to get folks to know, like, and trust you. But then we start asking ourselves, what other ways can we advertise what it is that we're doing? And so we could have a blog, you know, we could blog. And so I get these newsletters, if you will, from real estate companies all the time. And it's actually like a little newsletter blog. And it talks about what to do in the fall to get your house ready for fall, or what to do in the spring, or what to do if you're going to sell your house, or what to do if you're buying a house. And so it's all of this information. And what it does is it helps your audience get to know, like, and trust you. They get to see some of your content. Now, what I do know about the real estate market is that a lot of those are boilerplate letters that come out from your brokers or from the companies. And, you know, and if I'm tapped into 5 different realtors with the same company, I end up getting identical 5 newsletters. And so again, I realize it's not really getting to know that particular person. So when you're out there marketing, you could do some of your own original content in a blog. And that way folks get to know, like, and trust you, and they want to do business with you on whatever your product is. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter your product. And so now today we want to talk about podcasting. And there's two ways to podcast. You can be a guest on someone else's podcast, or you can create your own podcast. And so that's what we want to talk about today. And it's a way for folks to get to know, like, and trust you. And then next month, we're going to talk about public speaking, because public speaking is where you can get in front of 40 people or 50 people or 100 people and share your message. And how long would it take you to get in front of that number of people if you were doing it one-on-one? You know, if somebody said, gee, I need to reach 100 people by the end of the month, to make my quota, you could do that very easily with one speaking gig. You could get in front of 100 people. And when you are the keynote speaker or at any level in there, whatever, however they're going to categorize your topic as a speaker, you become the professional on that topic. And so people pay more attention. And people get to know, like, and trust you. They get to see you in action, and they start to know, like, and trust what you're doing, and they want to do business with you. Okay, does that make sense? How many times have I been to a seminar and I've seen a speaker, and I can't wait to run up and either buy their book or buy their program or whatever, because everything they said resonated with where I was at the time. And so that's why speaking is very important. So podcasting is a stepping stone to that public speaking, because you're perfecting your story as you go along. And so when you talk about either being a guest or having your own podcast, being a guest, of course, is easy because you don't have to do anything but show up. Now, I say that kind of tongue in cheek. There is a little bit you have to do. Number one, you do have to know what it is that your product is. A lot of folks that kind of want to do something, they really haven't honed it down and gone through the beginning stages of this build a better business. And so when somebody says, well, what is it that you do? Tell us about what you do. They're like, well, I do this and I do that and I do that and I do this. And all of a sudden it doesn't have any storyline or any direction, and you lose your audience. And so that's why it's important to go from the beginning on Build a Better Business and hone down that VPS, that value proposition statement. And I'll give you an example. I actually, if I didn't have my value proposition statement, I'm kind of going to do this in reverse so you understand how it works. And somebody might say, Kathy, what is it that you do? Well, I've got these free meetups. And then I do have a couple of masterminds, and we talk about real estate. And then some of them, we talk about writing. And then a couple of them, we talk about, just building better relationships. And after a while, you're thinking, I have no clue what it is she does, you know, because I could just kind of talk about all of that. And it's not in story form, or it's not honed down into that value proposition statement. Or after looking at it on paper this big and trimming it down, what's the common thread through everything that I do? And making it more precise, I can say I'm a passive income coach and I help folks create income without having to punch a time clock. And all of a sudden, everybody's like, oh, tell me more. You know, here's what I do. Could what I do be passive income? Absolutely. But you see, what I did is I got to the heart of the matter. I got to the core. And that's what a lot of folks have not taken the time to do. And so when you go out to a networking event, you know, if you're the listener and they're the talker, you're looking for an escape because you're like, I still don't know what they do. Let me go over and try to meet someone else. And so in a networking environment, see, you need to hone down that core of what it is that you do. Get to the heart of the matter. How is it that you're helping folks? Who are you and what do you do for whom? And once you have that, see, then you can say, well, how does your story tie in? And they go, well, tell me more. Well, see, now nobody's going to just immediately jump to the end of my program or jump to the bottom of that funnel and go, I'm buying one-on-one coaching with her because she said she's a passive income coach. Now they want to know, what are your credentials? How do we know that you know how to do this? So that's where my story then comes in. And I can then tell them, you know, I was a single mom. I was working 2 minimum wage jobs. I had a car that wouldn't run. And I finally discovered that I could create some passive income for myself. And once I learned how to do that, then my life became easy. And now I show other folks how to take whatever their passion is and turn it into passive income. So see, now folks are like, that's my hero's journey. That's my story. So we show you how to create your story. And so now when we get through then all of the different products, which I'm not going to get into that today, but once we get through all the different products that you're going to offer and you're at the place where you're ready to start marketing those products, see, now I can take that story that I have, because it's my story, you know, it's my story. I can jump in and out of my story at any point. So if I'm talking to a group of realtors, which Sean has been in a couple of groups where I've been in, where we've been talking to realtors, I can talk all about how I learned how to create passive income by investing in real estate. But if I'm talking to a group of cosmetologists, because I had 25 years in cosmetology, I can talk about how I created my own beauty salons and how I turned that into passive income. If I'm talking to a bunch of single moms, I can talk about how I had to work two minimum wage jobs and had a car that wouldn't run. You see how I can connect with whoever my audience is with my story. So I can make my story as small as I want it to be. I can just skip over the whole story and sum it up like, yep, I was broke, but now I'm not. I can help you how to not be. Or I can stretch that story out and I can make it an hour long. I could make it 20 minutes long. I can make that story because it's my story. All I need to know is who is my audience. Who am I talking to? Am I talking to single moms? Am I talking to cosmetologists? Am I talking to realtors? Am I talking to investors? Am I talking to writers? Who am I talking to? Or am I just talking to the public at large? And I've got a little bit of everybody in a group. And then I might want to just, you know, tell the overview of the story and not stop at any particular subject matter there. Does that make sense so far? And so now what I tell myself, and I tell a lot of the folks that I'm connected with, I go, hey, if you're stuck for a speaker, give me a call. Because guess what? I don't have to prep. I don't have to do anything. If they go, Kathy, our speaker canceled for tonight, can you be a speaker? Sure. All I need to know is who's my audience. Because all I'm going to do is tell my story. And
can I pause you there, Kathy?
Yes, go ahead.
Because you've been talking for a while and I want to step back because Cindy and I were on the phone an hour before we got on here and we've been talking a little bit about some of this business stuff. Sean, I don't know you. I'm going to ask each one of you, did you have a key takeaway from what Kathy said already today?
You're talking to me too?
Mm-hmm. Cindy and Sean. Mm-hmm. What is your key takeaway from what Kathy has said so far?
Sean, I'll let you go first.
Oh, are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. I think the biggest thing is, it was kind of the last thing you said, actually, is like when you're talking about your own story, it's really dependent on your audience, you know, because I was actually going to ask you because I kind of have a hard time relating to other people since, I'm 20 years old, right? So it's kind of hard to relate to a lot of other people because I have not had that life experience that a lot of other people have, right? So like you said, you've been doing cosmetology for 25 years. How would I go about, if I had to go and speak in front of cosmetologists, like what would I do in that sense? Because obviously I'm a magician, right? So that's kind of part of the product that I market, right? So I can kind of use that in a sense to get over that barrier of entry kind of, because it helps build rapport, right? But in the same sense, still I would like to do it without having to kind of use that as a crutch. So
well, first of all, to answer your question or to take the thoughts a step further on what you're talking about, because you're 20 years old. I'll just kind of give you another example. Let's say that they ask me to speak to a group of stockbrokers. Okay. I've never invested in stock. I would feel like I was a 20-year-old in a room full of adults. I wouldn't be able to speak their language, if you know what I mean, because I wouldn't have a clue. And if I got up there as a speaker, and then at the last minute, they said to me, by the way, this is a room full of senior stockbrokers or bank presidents or whatever, my first reaction would be to panic, because I would think, holy moly, how can I talk on their level? So you want to separate yourself from having to identify directly with an audience that you really don't have connection with, and just tell your rags to riches story. And I use that term loosely, because I'm not saying that you were in rags, and I'm not saying that maybe you're wealthy today, but you can just go back and tell your story on where you are. Like, you know, I remember the first time that, you know, I thought that real estate might even be an option. And I'm sure you had a lot of thoughts and a lot of fears and a lot of research and a lot of what went into that, all the way from you going through your training and sitting for your exam and making your first deal. And so you could turn that whole thing into a story. See, and they could relate to that. And as a matter of fact, they would honor, you know, that type of a conversation, because just seeing that at 20 years old, you're doing what? How many 20-year-olds aren't even off the couch yet, off of, you know, mom's couch in the basement? And so as a 20-year-old, that's very impressive. And so use what you have and make it your story. And we all love a good underdog story, which is why when I start off with, I was a single mom. And, you know, so here, picture me, you know, in my early 20s, single mom with the baby, all by myself, working a minimum wage job, didn't have any health insurance. See, I don't have to prep that story. It's my story. All I have to do is close my eyes and go back there and just tell the story. I remember the time when I didn't have any groceries and I had to, you know, get out the stewed tomatoes and some crackers. And that's what we had for dinner that night because I didn't have any groceries. And so when I paint that picture, because you're painting a verbal picture, and after I paint that picture for a while, the audience, they come into my story. They can feel it. They can feel the story. They can picture this single mom and then just say, well, what is she doing now? And so when I go around that hero's journey and I go, but then I discovered. See, and that's your segue. But then I discovered. And now what you want to do is whatever solution you discovered, you want to tie that in with what it is you're monetizing today. Mm-hmm. See, and then I discovered I could have passive income because I'm doing passive income in more than just real estate. So I don't have to say, and then I discovered how I could, you know, buy a property for without using any of my own money, which is what I discovered. But, you know, I don't have to make it just about real estate. I can say, then I discovered how to create passive income. See, I've broadened that term. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I really appreciate the input. I mean, of course, I mean, you know, I'm at the kind of beginning of my journey in life overall, right? So obviously I don't have so much to offer yet, but.
Well, but again, don't think that, because your audience very well could be an earlier version of you. Mm-hmm. That okay. could be your main audience. It could be those 18-year-olds that are just, you know, 17, 18-year-olds just getting out of high school saying, what in the heck do I do? What is life about? What do I do with myself? That could very well be your target audience for right now.
You could be marketing yourself to high schools and going in and talking about your story.
Hmm. Yeah. That's a good idea. I'm writing that down.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now,
for them.
Cindy, you are much, I'm going to start a little backstory because I didn't get to talk to Kathy a lot about you. Kathy and I Cindy and I have known one another for several years. We were on a professional board together, and Cindy owns an equestrian farm. Mm-hmm. She's also an occupational therapist. So Sean, we are not doing real estate. Mm-hmm. We are doing something totally different. And Cindy came to me a couple weeks ago and said, how do I start my own business? So one of the things that we are talking about is really like, what is the first thing that she wants to do, and how do we get started? So saying that, hearing what Kathy was talking about and sharing her story, what is your key takeaway, Cindy?
I actually like to do public speaking. I was a disc jockey many years ago. but, you know, I realized when you were like, I feel like I have that gift to be able to, you know, bring my story to other people. But one of the biggest things that you said is, you know, I can make my story big. Mm-hmm. Or I can make it small. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes, as Sherry knows, I can make my story big. So I guess understanding that, you know, and I really like the idea of, you know, how do I connect with my audience, stuff like that. So, and I think I kind of do that on most levels anyway, but you just kind of honed in on that a little more for me. And then, like I said, trying to figure out, you know, just exactly how much of my story I need to tell or want to tell.
Kathy, also, Cindy has not seen any of your website.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And right now, maybe I should tell you, I do therapeutic horseback riding. So I did create in 2004, I think, we took our for-profit organization doing therapeutic riding to a nonprofit status. So I do have 501c3 status there.
Okay.
My farm was certified organic. I had to leave the certified organic go just because of the current economic state of the mm-hmm. world. But we are growers and my husband is a locksmith. So we're trying to figure out how to make passive income. You know, we both have gone through, thanks, hon. We both have gone through terrible divorces, which, yeah, you talk about the single parent kind of idea. So yeah, you know, we need to make more income.
Well, I don't know you well enough to know, you know, exactly what you want to do passively, but there are so many things with what you just said. I mean, you know, I could, if I wanted to brainstorm with you, I could come up with 20 different ideas right off the top of my head on what you could do. You could show folks about organic farming. You could show folks about, you know, just anything that you do in a day's time. You could do courses, you could do seminars, you could do retreats on location. You could, I mean, there's just tons of things. And I don't know you well enough to know what your passions are on how you wanted to monetize that. But with some conversation with you, I could and find out more about what you enjoy, because at this stage in our lives, let's do what we like to do.
Amen. You know?
Let's do what we like.
And that was with Sherry. So she's helped me. Well, my OT stuff, the on the farm, off the farm job is now I'm all virtual. Mm-hmm. So 3 days a week, I have a 20 kid caseload. So it's a pretty, you know, sizable caseload, but I do like it. It's of course, like anything else, has its drawbacks, but out of this too. So Sherry and I kind of brainstormed to create a course, because that was on my paper that I showed her today. Was what okay. I started to jot down. I don't know if you guys can see it, but number one.
Yes, her vision. Yep. I love it.
Create a course. And so I've wanted to do that. And so we've decided to, the first course I'm going to do is going to be called Curse of Writing. Or okay. We decided it was going to be, yep. Well, it is going to be Curse of Writing, but I'm working on the five steps now, five subtopics with Sherry.
Okay. I love that. So today's topic on podcasting, we've kind of bypassed where you are, because you start with your value proposition, you know, who you are and what you want to do for whom, who your audience, you know, at large, who your audience is. For me, it's anybody that wants passive income is my audience. But it doesn't have to be authors, doesn't have to be, you know, investors, real estate investors. It could be anybody that wants passive income. But then from there, you create your products, which is what your step is there when you're putting together your notes on creating a course. And then after you get through all of that, then you talk about how are you going to advertise yourself, and podcasting is one of the ways to advertise yourself. And so since we're kind of past all of that, please tap into some of our other calls, because I think you'll get a lot of value as we go through the process. And here's the good news. We start every January, and this is November. So we're going to start again in January on the VPS, and you can jump right in with us and craft your VPS and go right through crafting your products, your story, your products, your services. And then again, next November, we'll be talking about podcasting again. And by then you'll be ready. You'll be ready to, because you'll know exactly what you want to talk about. But as far as podcasting goes, and I want to talk a little bit about that, because that was our topic today for those that want to tune in and listen to the replay of this, is there are two ways to podcast. One is that you can be a guest on somebody else's podcast. And what I recommend if you're going to be a guest is to put together a little media kit. Now, Sherry has her media kit. I have my media kit. And what it does, and you can create this media kit from the very beginning. And Cindy, this is especially for you or for Sean, either one, to create your media kit up front. Because what you're going to do is you're going to have a digital picture of yourself that you want to use. And of course, I was teasing Sean earlier. I've got his business card right here with his picture on it. And so he's already got the digital picture. And so you have your digital picture that anyone can use to advertise you, to put across their social media if you're going to be a guest. And after that, you want to have just a little one paragraph bio of yourself, something short and sweet. So kind of general. Because you don't know your audience just yet. Somebody's just saying, oh, let me see your media kit, see if you're a good fit. And so just kind of in general. And then you're going to have 10 questions that they could ask you. You get to write the questions. 10 questions that they could ask you. And that way you don't have to practice. You don't have to rehearse. You don't have to say, oh my God, I wonder what they're going to say. Because they're going to ask you the questions you wrote down. So they're going to say, you know, what is your background? How did you get started doing what you're doing? You're just now going to launch into your story. So you don't have to have notes. You don't have to rehearse. You don't have to make it sound canned. You're going to be very comfortable. And the whole interview is going to be very conversational because it's your story. And you gave them the questions. Now, the interviewer is going to love you. Because the hardest job for an interviewer is to even know what to ask this person because they don't know your story. They're interviewing somebody different every week or every month. And so if you send them your media kit that has those questions, they're going to say, hallelujah, my job is done. I don't have to do anything until the day of the interview and just open up her PDF and there's her picture, there's her bio, and there's her questions. And then you always want to finish the last question is you want the interviewer to ask you is how can folks connect with you? And that's where you're going to give either your website, your email, your LinkedIn profile, something, a way for folks to connect with you because folks will connect. And so once you have that in place, you are ready to be interviewed on any podcast. Now, once that's over, the podcaster will probably send you a link saying, thank you very much. And here's a copy of the actual podcast. Now you can have a channel, that infamous or famous, if you will, either way you want to look at it, YouTube channel. And all you have to do is post that link on your channel and you have a podcast. And all you're doing is posting all of your guest appearances. And that's your podcast. You're just posting your guest appearances. You didn't have to do anything but post the link that somebody else did. That's the easy way to have a podcast. Now, when you're ready and you want to be the one doing the interviews, then all you need to do is just turn that around. You now, the easy way, is to interview someone else. And you can interview them on your topic, see? On under your topic, on what it is. Remember that VPS, who are you and who are you serving? What are you doing for whom? So now just get folks that are kind of in your lane or that complement your lane. And for example, I interview folks on my Happy House Hunters podcast that have to do with real estate investing, but I've interviewed property stagers. I've interviewed realtors. I've interviewed lenders. I've interviewed title companies because see, they're all related to property investors. See, my audience is, so you see where I'm going with that. My audience is a group of investors, but the investors are interested in all those things. How do I find the property? How do I fund the property? How do I fix the, I've interviewed contractors. And so it's anyone that complements your topic is who you can interview. That's the second easiest way to do a podcast, because now all you're doing is you're being the interviewer and your guest is bringing the content, but it has to be relevant and it has to add value to your audience to keep your audience coming back. And again, once you're done, you know, and you've got all of your recordings, now you just upload your recordings into your YouTube channel and then there's your podcast. Now you can also, and Sherry and I, we both have done this, you can go out and search for the top podcasting channels, you know, like Spotify, mine's Audio Boom. Sherry, what is yours again? What is your podcast? Oh,
Transistor.
So once you determine where you want to put, you can also upload the link there, the audio version of the link. And now it goes out across all these different podcast channels. So now all of a sudden you are casting your net wider and you only did the recording once, but you can post it 20 different places and you can have an audience on all those channels. So you see how easy it is, again, when you think about that funnel and you have to reach 100 people up here to get one down here. And if somebody says, I don't have enough clients, I need more clients, then you need to cast your net wider. But that's a lot of work. And so if you have something you can do that you can repurpose and make it broader at the top of your funnel, the more folks you're going to have at the bottom of your funnel that's going to convert into clients. Does that make sense?
Okay, Cindy, let's apply this a little bit. Since Sean has been hearing a lot about real estate, let's shift the conversation a little bit to our target. So I have a podcast called The Writing Glitch. The Writing Glitch interviews people that have something to do with the disability in writing. Plus, there's always an intervention that's included. And you are getting pitched right now, Cindy, to talk about your equestrian, your therapeutic writing company. And then the relation then is how does riding on a horse or helping pet a horse and clean a horse relate back to writing? So there always has to be the relate back to writing piece as part of the conversation. So you and I will have that conversation to do that recording at some point, but just to keep you in the conversation, Sean, sorry that our subject matter is so different than real estate, but yet they all can apply to one another.
Mm-hmm. The principles are the same. Doesn't matter the product that you're selling. The principles are the same.
And can I interrupt just long enough to say, would it be okay if I excuse myself? I don't want to, but my daughter came in and the puppy is like,
that's okay. Not a problem, Cindy. I just wanted to introduce you to Kathy. This happens the second Friday of the month, Kathy?
Yes.
So, you know, thinking about that, looking at December and then looking as you're growing business, Kathy's resources are excellent.
Perfect. And thank you for inviting me.
Yes. And if you just need to step away and want to come back, you're welcome to do that. But if you do need to step away and you don't get to come back, you can go to kathybinner.com and it'll have all the information there.
Kathy Binner.
Yep. Kathybinner.com.
Okay. I'm probably going to have to step away because this puppy is like 60 pounds of puppy. So I'm sure it'll be interesting. I got that. So I got my homework. You'll be seeing more.
You have a little bit of homework. I will talk to you on Friday.
Okay. Thank you. Good to meet you guys.
Yes. Thank you, Cindy.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for letting me pull her into the conversation, Kathy. It was, I thought it was very important that she understand why I was inviting her to this session. Sean, thank you for appeasing my time.
No, that was perfect. That was perfect.
No worries at all.
We're here to try to help everyone. That's the whole point. The tide rises all the ships. And so we want to help everyone take their next step, whatever that is. And so back to the podcasting then, the main thing is to decide where, you know, if you're going to be a guest, then of course, whoever is interviewing you gets to choose the platform to do the podcast, you know, to actually do the recording. But if you're doing the interviewing, then you get to choose. Now, Sean, I think you said you used Google Meetup. Is that your preference?
Yeah, Google Meets is, I mean, it's just pretty easy access for me.
Okay.
So that's probably what I will end up using for that kind of thing.
Now, my question is this. Once it records, does it give you an audio, video recording of what you did? And does it? Can you separate out the audio portion from the video portion?
I don't actually know if you can separate it, but I know that you can record both. So I'll have to look into that if you can actually separate them, the two.
Okay. Can you save
Can you save them to your computer, or does it go up to the cloud?
I think you can do it both, but automatically, like the default way is it'll save to the computer.
Double check that and maybe go in and do a little practice run and then see if it gives you both channels, the audio video together and then the audio by itself. Because if it will, then that's a perfect solution, because then you can upload the audio video combo over to YouTube and you could do the audio only to like Spotify or Audio Boom or whatever platform for just for podcasting. Because it's a different audience. Folks that watch YouTube aren't necessarily the same folks that listen to podcasts. And you've got an entire audience out there of runners and walkers and whatever that all they do is listen. They don't watch the video because they're multitasking. They're just listening to the audio portion. And so that's why it's important to have it on both ways, so that you can post it just on an audio channel as well. And Zoom does that. Zoom will record it and automatically separate it for you. And so all you do is you click, and I don't know if you've uploaded anything into YouTube. Sean probably could teach this part, where you can just click and drop it over in, and it'll upload. And so you can drag and drop right from Zoom over into as many channels as you want. And then if you get popular, the more people that tune in and listen, and you have to have content out there to show up. And once you start to get an audience, then other channels will pick you up. I just got a note from Amazon Music that said they were picking up my podcast because of the listeners that I had. I did not apply for Amazon Music. I did not upload to Amazon Music, but all of a sudden Amazon Music is picking me up off of another channel and putting me over on Amazon Music. And I didn't ask for that. They sent me a note saying that they wanted me on Amazon Music. So I'm like,
I want okay. Amazon Music too.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, twist my arm. So anyway, so other channels will pick you up. And then again, what it's doing is it's casting that net even broader of whatever message it is that you're putting out there. And more folks are then getting to know, like, and trust you and connecting. Yes, Sherry.
So one of the other things that I'm hearing as I am listening to people talk about podcasts, I listened to a couple shows about producing podcasts. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that YouTube is actually now saying yes to, because they've realized the phenomenal appeal of the audio version only, is they are now accepting basically audio versions of your podcast onto the YouTube channel. And so people can just listen to your podcast while even without a video feature as well. But you have made me think. I have been recording on Zoom, so I do get a video version. Mm-hmm. And the company that I use to edit, because I must edit. Mm-hmm. You have been very gracious and have not been able mm-hmm. to do it without editing, but I need to edit, and I can edit audio, visual, and the transcript all at one time. Sean, I don't know if you've heard of the company called Descript. I am an affiliate if you are interested in that platform. I can see if I can figure out where my Descript affiliate link is. That is one thing I am not organized about, but
look it up later and send it to me, and I'll put it in the description of this call.
Perfect. So I can, I do recommend if you are going to do that, those that putting the video version into the script, it will also then after you edit it, separate it all out, and then you can get all versions that you need. You can even get the updated transcript file. So like it updates everything. And they now have a new feature where you can make things like you would on TikTok, you know, with all the added that stuff.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. It's unlimited. The sky is the limit on what you can do with this. And it's a perfect marketing tool. The statistics tell us right now that video is the way to go. That seems to be what the internet is honoring more than anything else, is these videos. And they're really pushing content to the top if there's videos connected to it. And so, Sean, this is where your generation really has an advantage over ours, because you grew up with this stuff and we didn't. And we're trying to figure out, you know, where the start button is. And you guys just grew up with this. And, you know, every time I need to do something in my household, I got to call the 9-year-old grandson and say, hey, how do I do this? And he shows me. But anyway, the point is that this is where it's going. This is what it is now. And so take advantage of that. And I will say, and even though I know I've slanted my conversation back to real estate several times, Sean, you're in a profession that's been around a lot of years. And so as you're getting trained in the real estate business, you're going to have the old timers that aren't doing a lot of this stuff because they're the old timers. So don't get stuck there. Don't think that you have to do everything, you know, the way that the 50-year-old broker tells you how to do, because you have all of these tools to your advantage. And that's actually the direction everyone is going. So embrace that. Embrace all of the
things. And think about other ways other than just panning a house to create a video that would go to a podcast or some other thing. Think of other ways to get people to market people into there, because the more that you can create that magician real estate niche, the more you're going to find that unique value that's going to make you stand out in the crowd.
Yes. When you look at how many realtors are out there, I would definitely, even in some videos, do a little magic with your real estate. Use that as a marketing tool. People will remember you. Have you thought of that?
I have been trying to kind of script some of that stuff out so I can use it in like Instagram and stuff.
Yeah, perfect. Absolutely. Because folks will definitely remember you.
Yeah.
So what I want to say,
I'm sharing in the chat, a friend of mine who is doing some really neat stuff with real estate out in Western part of the country. So link to her on Instagram and watch some of the stuff that she does. She might be somebody that'll give you some ideas.
Okay. Thank you. Now, one thing that I want to say as an overview is when you are a guest on someone else's podcast, you are borrowing their audience because you may not have an audience yet. So now you're going to borrow their audience because they're going to interview you. And all of a sudden they're going to promote that to all of their audience. And their audience is now going to get to know you because you were a guest on their podcast. But if you start your own podcast and you still don't have an audience, interviewing other folks, like if, for example, in my real estate, I'll interview contractors and stagers and realtors. And what I'm doing is I'm now borrowing their audience, because I'm the one doing the podcast. But as soon as the podcast is over, I send them the replay link. Well, the first thing they're going to do is they're going to blow that up because I interviewed them. We talked about, it was all about them. So now they're going to blow up that interview out across all of their audience. And so I'm still borrowing their audience. See? So whether I am being interviewed or whether I am doing the interview, either way, I am borrowing the other person's audience. It's a group of people that may not have ever heard of me before. And again, it's a way to cast that net a little broader.
And I can share an example that just happened to me within the last 60 days is I was on somebody's summit. So I have a person in the OT teachers world who has her own podcast. She did a summit back in September, invited me to be interviewed on her summit. So she was interviewing people on the summit. Somebody watched that summit and emailed me out of the blue, and I now have a paid speaking gig for next summer. So there is a, you could see the progression right along there to a paid gig. Now, the idea then is the paid gig will hopefully then get the people that are in the audience to join my network, listen to my podcast, join my community, be more and get certified in my program. See how the funnel works?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So it's perfect. It's a perfect solution. And it's easy because again, if you start with your story, you don't have to prepare. You know, if you create those 10 questions. So I put in the chat, kathybinner.com, go to my website, scroll, either click on the menu or scroll down and go to my media kit. Take a look at my media kit. You'll see the 10 questions that I put out there. Now, when I am doing the interview and I'm the interviewer instead of the person getting interviewed, I sometimes use the same questions. I interview folks in the short-term rental community where they're starting a bed and breakfast or an Airbnb or a VRBO or whatever. And so I have a list of questions that I use on every guest. I'll say, tell us your backstory. What does a check-in look like? You know, how did you find the property? What type of locks do you use on the door so that your guests can come and go at their convenience? What happens if you have a problem guest? Where do you find your linens? How do you find your cleaning folks? It's the same question because the answers are different every month. And so I'll have a new guest every month, but I never change up the questions. Because when those folks come to me, they don't have a media kit, see? Because they're not public speakers and they just have an Airbnb or a VRBO. And I go, hey, can I interview on my podcast? And they're like, yeah, what are you going to ask me? And I go, here's what I'm going to ask you. And I send them the email that just goes through 10 questions. You know, what was your backstory? What made you decide you wanted to do this? How did you find the property to do it with? And I just go through the same exact questions every month. But every podcast then is totally different on where they take that question with their answer. And so it doesn't have to be hard. My point in that is that you don't have to, you know, to reinvent the wheel every month even.
So what I do with after I am going to release a podcast, I find a quote that was inside the podcast. I share the podcast itself. I also have talked with a lot of my people that I've interviewed, and I say, do you want to do a supplemental Q&A? And I pull people into my community, and the only way they can get the link is inside my community. I'm getting people to join the community. And I have one coming up next week. Podcast was just released this week, Tuesday, and I've jumped 100 downloads. And part of it was, as she was so excited to be on it, she is just blowing it up. She is marketing it to the hilt. Because she's like, this was my first podcast.
Mm-hmm. So Sherry, you are borrowing her audience big time.
I am borrowing her audience big time, and she is borrowing mine.
Yep.
Yep. And she has been delightful. Now we'll have some of those guests who aren't so delightful, but.
Well, and a lot of it's personality too. Some of them, they agree to do it, but they're really out of their element. They, you know, they're uncomfortable. They've never done it before. They're struggle to even get on the call, that, you know, and they're already nervous. And so that's where if you're doing the interview, and because if they're doing an interview, chances are they're already past all that nervousness if they're the podcaster. But if you're the podcaster interviewing them, making it very conversational is very helpful to make them feel more comfortable. And so I get them started talking.
I'm looking for something before you hang up.
Okay. So that's why I love to start with the question, tell me your backstory, because what I do is I get them talking just about their story in general, and that helps them relax.
So this book by Nicole Christina, it's called Master Podcast Interviewer, Not Just Chatting. Just a really good, it's thin book that you can get to help you structure interviews to make it flow well.
I love that. Yes. Thank you for that. All right.
I'll put the title in the chat for you, Kathy.
Very good. Very good. And so I think that when I first started thinking about podcasting, my biggest takeaway was that it didn't have to be as hard as I thought it was going to be. And you can edit as much or as little as you want. What we discovered is that folks that are in the middle that try to make it really professional, that don't quite hit the mark, comes across a little geeky, and that most folks, they like it to either be totally raw podcast or totally polished. Those in between ones make them go, yeah, well, she gave it a good try. So I go with the totally raw. I'm not editing at all. I just, all my mistakes and everything go right into the podcast. And I've had so many folks comment later that it was a breath of fresh air for them, because they felt like I wasn't trying to, you know, be this professional speaker. And, you know, I was just sharing my story, and they just really felt like they could connect. And so, and again, my audience are the newbies that are trying to launch something for the first time. And so that style appeals to them. And again, I'm trying to appeal to that particular audience, the folks that are just now starting to try to build some sort of a business. So that was my biggest takeaway, is that it doesn't have to be hard at all. Sherry, when you started podcasting, what was your biggest takeaway so far?
I tried a podcast before where it was video based and it was put on YouTube, and it was okay. And I got so far and I stopped. And I knew in my heart that I wanted to be on the podcast platform. So first thing I did was I really researched all the different platforms that were available and kind of where I wanted to go. I learned a little bit about interviewing, because I didn't do the best job the first time. And I also knew, based on my audience, that I wanted to keep the episodes 15 to 30 minutes. And when I look at the people that are listening, it is the title of the episode that makes or breaks the episode. So keep that in mind.
Okay, good. Sean, what is your takeaway from today's call?
I kind of need to solidify what I am offering as a product, in a sense. And then also, podcasting seems like pretty cool. So I might have to pick that up.
Very good. I love it. So it's another thing to put
in practice. Yeah, I'm sorry, Kathy. You can practice.
It's another thing you can put in your tool belt. Yeah, go ahead, Sherry. Sorry.
You can practice on Clubhouse.
On Clubhouse, yeah, okay.
Yeah, have you been on Clubhouse yet?
Okay. Yeah, I'm in a couple groups on there, so.
Yeah, and you can actually do a whole podcast on Clubhouse and click to have it recorded and save the recording.
Maybe I should do that too. I should look at that.
Yeah, that's a great way to get started. So I love it. All right. Well, Sean, thank you so much for being with us. I'm so happy that you joined us today.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yes, please tap in again. Go to KathyBinner.com. You'll see all the different free meetups. Tap into as many of those as you'd like. And I'm sure I'll see you out there, out and about in the real estate world.
Of course.